We will praise his name. You know, our God is not just here. Our God has been with us throughout this entire week, and our God will be with us this coming week and every week after that. And that is why we praise his name. That's also why we join together as a body of Christ to worship him and to give him thanks, so that we might show Christ's love, hope, and faith.
Good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're so happy that everyone is with us today.
Please join with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge you as creator of everything that we see and of what we have not yet seen. We acknowledge you as a provider of all that we need to survive. We acknowledge that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to show us the way to you. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that we enjoy. And dear Jesus, we acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior. We acknowledge that you have taught us how we are to act. But we confess that we often fall short and behave according to our will and not yours. Forgive us. Dear Jesus, you told us to come to you with our requests. We ask that you heal the suffering and the sick among us, for those who suffer from a disease, for those who are afflicted with emotional suffering or relational conflict. We ask that you comfort them, heal them, make them whole. Particularly, Lord, we remember Gregor and his amputation of his lower leg about to happen. We also remember those of us who are dealing with cancer, trying to get whole. We ask that the Holy Spirit watch over all of us, that the Spirit comfort us and give us the patience to show your love to both ourselves and to others, and for the Spirit to keep us from temptation and the evil one. Guide us as we are your witnesses to our youth, to those around us, and to the strangers that we meet. And show us how we can grow close to you. Lastly, Lord, be with our leaders. Give our government leaders wisdom and the will to make wise decisions. Give our deacons compassion in dealing with those in need. And give Kim, the staff and session, eyes and ears to see where you would have us go as a church. Now we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So the little boy continued to sit beside the wise old man, pondering all that he had told him about the kingdom of heaven. He imagined himself as a tiny seed that could grow into something special. He imagined what it would be like to be given lots of talent. Would he be smart enough to know what to do with it? He actually had no idea what talents he had been given by God. He was too young, but he was determined to use them once he figured out what they were. The old man noticed the little boy's forehead begin to wrinkle and asked, Why the worried look, little one? Is there something troubling you? Well, said the little boy, readjusting himself on the rock, I want to do all the things you told me about, but what if I forget what he said, or I get too busy to think about it? I mean, what if I mess up? God must really like those who never mess up. I would, if I were him. You and I would think that, said the kind old man. But fortunately for us, God is different than us. God once said, There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Do you remember the man I told you about, so much wiser than I, who lived many years ago, said the old man? He had a story about this very question of yours, and this is how it began. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of your goods that falls to me. And the father divided unto his sons his property. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all of his possessions together and took his journey into a far country. And there, he wasted his wealth with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And the younger son began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed his swine. He would gladly have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and here I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and went off to go to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. Be merry for this. My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew close to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he has him back safe and sound. Well, the older son became angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. And the older son answering said to his father, Lo, these many years I have served thee, neither have I transgressed at any time thy commandment. And yet thou gave me a young goat that I might make merry. Never gave me a goat that I can make merry with my friends. But as soon as this, thy son has returned, who hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed the fatted calf for him. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was appropriate that we should make merry and be glad for this. Thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found.
Thank you so much, Movement Choir. That was wonderful. If you'd like to be a part of this wonderful, dramatic moment in our worship services as we go through the parables, please see Janet Shaw, who has orchestrated most of this. Let's give her a hand again, please. Before the baptism, we had the movement choir acting out this amazing story that we classically call the prodigal son. And if there's one parable that captures the flavor of the kingdom, if there's one parable that captures, expresses the heart of God, if there's one parable that gives me hope, this is absolutely the one. The prodigal son, as we classically know it, is in a trio of stories in Luke 15 about losing and finding. And it's in the lost and found section of the Bible, I like to say. One story is about the lost sheep, where the fellow has 100 sheep and he loses one and goes out and finds it. Then there's the woman who has the lost coin and sweeps everywhere until she finds it. Then we have this parable about a lost boy. And as I said, it's often called the story of the prodigal son, and some people call it the story rather of the gracious father or the prodigal father, because prodigal means what? I've preached on this before, so you should all know, because you're all here every Sunday. Prodigal means wasteful and lavish. And we think of the son being wasteful and lavish with the father's money and inheritance, but actually the father was wasteful and lavish with what? With his grace, his forgiveness, right? So some have called it the prodigal father. But here's the principle. If you lose something valuable, you never stop looking for it. And God considers each one of you extremely valuable to him. And if you are lost, he wants to find you today. I pushed search on my laptop the other day to find a website, and that ball started to spin. Ever seen that ball spinning? And I clicked on it and said, still searching, still searching. Ever had that frustrating experience of this thing spinning and spinning? I was like, stop spinning. I have other things to do. And I had to shut my whole laptop down in order for the searching spinning ball to go away. But God keeps searching like that. Never gives up, always seeks out the lost, always is waiting and ready for us to come home again to him. As some of you know, these past 2 days has been kind of stressful for me and my husband, Tim. My mom has really gone downhill with a kind of dementia that makes her disoriented and forgetful. So these past 2 days, Friday and Saturday, we've been moving her up from Southern California to be closer to us. And she's getting lost a lot. And at one point a few weeks ago, we didn't know where she was. And it was terribly scary for her to get lost like this and not have any sense of orientation. And we were beside ourselves. And after waiting for hours wondering where she was, the police found her and called us. And I was incredibly relieved. She was fine. They had found her and brought her back home. And my mom has not been easy to live with ever, not an easy person for anyone, but neither was the kid in this story, right? This story is so famous because it's an amazing tale. The characters are great. It has sharp drama. It has arrogance and passion and depression and father-son stuff and sibling rivalry. It has anger and jealousy and restoration. And then it has a party at the end. Who doesn't like a party at the end? It is pretty clear that the father is God and the elder brother represents the self-righteous religious leaders. But the parent-child part of this story is really touching. First of all, this story is unbelievable. I mean, it is unbelievable. Hear me again. If you are a listener in the Middle Eastern culture, you can't believe this story because back then this isn't the way life worked at all. You literally could not believe what Jesus tells the crowd this father does for his son. The parable opens with the younger son asking for his share of the estate. He probably was a teenager, right? And it's interesting, the phrase in the original language for inheritance means life. It means life. He wants his portion of what his father's life will leave him. Okay? And in this context, the older son would get 2/3 and the younger son would get 1/3. In Jewish thinking, in their writings, you would never divide the estate early, right? Before the father died. You just wouldn't do it. But this is essentially what the younger son is saying. He's saying, Dad, drop dead. Right? That's what he's saying. I wish you were dead so I could have my part of your life, your inheritance. The father in that case would backhand the son with his left hand, literally, and send him out of the house. And the shame of a son acting this way was so huge on the part of the father. That's why listeners to the story that Jesus is telling would just not believe it. But in this parable, the father says, okay, here's your third. This story pictures God the Father letting us sinners go our own way. Now, we have 3 children, and when they were little, especially around 2, yeah, Alice is going to get there someday, they wanted to do everything themselves. And one of them would say all the time, no, me do it, me do it. Let me help you, we would say, pour the juice. No, me do it, me do it. And the juice spilled everywhere. And this is that picture. I'll do it myself. And the father says, okay, do it yourself. And of course, on his own, the son loses everything. He blows it. He squanders it. The text said he scattered his resources. He threw his money away. He ends up slopping pigs, the worst possible job for a Jewish boy. Slopping pigs. It doesn't get any worse than that. He's so hungry that he wants to eat the slop he's feeding the pigs. The son reflects on his condition, and the text says that he came to himself. The Middle Eastern view of this is not repentance, though. Rather, he thickened his skin and said, I haven't been too smart up to this point, but let me see if I can make a plan. Coming to himself means that he creates a plan in the text. He devises a plan to go to his dad and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've offended God and I've offended you and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He's making a plan. He's still self-centered though, do you see? He is still all about how he can survive. And yet, despite this very self-centered kid being all about himself, we have this grace that runs unstoppable. This story is unbelievable. So the son comes home and the father's reaction says it all. While the boy was still a long way off, the Bible says, his father sees him. His father, what does that mean? He's looking, yes. Probably scanning the horizon, waiting, watching. All right? And when he sees his son, he's filled with compassion and he runs to his son and throws his arms around him and kisses him. An elder in the village, a respected father, would never, ever in a million years run. No, pick up your skirts and go running out. He would never initiate and go to the son. Very undignified for an older man to run in those days. And when he gets there, he literally drapes his arms around his son's neck and kisses him. The boy has shamed the whole village, and if the villagers get there before the father does, they'll kill the son. It was the custom. And the role of the father who's been shamed would be to kill him. That was the honor code back then, but he doesn't do it. He throws his arms around the boy, and the boy tells him his plan of being the father's slave. But the dad says, stop. He actually interrupts him if you read the text. He stops. You made your decisions before, and they didn't work. Now this is my call. Bring the sandals and put them on his feet to show that he's not a slave, because slaves had bare feet. Bring the robe to show that he's part of us and looks like us. And bring the signet ring, the one that back in the day when they created contracts, they rolled the signet ring in wax, and it carries all the authority of the family. Put it on him. The boy tried to say, Dad, you don't understand. And the dad said, no, you don't understand. What you don't understand is my heart. for you. What you don't understand is what it means to me to have you home. I thought about you every day. And here you are, and I'm so glad. We are going to celebrate. This is how it's going to work. You went on your terms, but you come back on my terms. So they bring the sandals and the ring and the robe and kill the fatted calf. The fatted calf, by the way, was a sacred thing. It was saved for special days, like the Day of Atonement. This is the Day of Atonement. See, that word at-one-ment, it means reconciliation to God. At-one-ment, if you look at atonement, right? The Son has come from destitution to complete restoration because of the Father. And this is what God's grace does. It is amazing. The elder son has been laboring out in the field and he missed all the action. He comes home and hears music and he asks the servant what is going on. And the servant told him his brother was home and they were having a party. Isn't that great? And the elder brother is ticked. Everybody else is having a great time. And he is so angry, he won't go into the party. The brother who had been on the outside is now on the inside. And the guy who is now who is on the inside is now on the outside. And the father's compassion comes forward again. He goes out to the older brother. Again, it's very inhospitable for the host of a party to leave the party. All right? So again, he's doing what the culture at that time would never allow. And he tries to calm his older son down. But the older son doesn't want to be calmed down. And this is the way I read the text with this emphasis. All these years I worked for you, and you never gave me a calf that I might make merry with my friends. It's not fair. Ever hear a kid say that? Never. Kids don't say that anymore. That was back then. But when this son of yours, what's he doing? Disowning his brother. When this son of yours comes home after squandering everything, you kill the fatted calf for him. The older brother's problem is his self-absorbed emphasis. There's no joy in him at all, right? No joy. The father says, we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours, what's the father doing? This brother of yours, trying to reconcile the two of them, right? This brother of yours was dead and now he's alive again. He was lost and now is found. Make no doubt about it. The party is the celebration of the success of the father for restoring the boy. Do we know the end of the story? Do we? Are you out there? You're out there. I think I see you. Do we know the end of the story? That's right. We don't, because we don't know if the son went into the party or not, right? Will he stay outside and stew in his juices, or will he go into the party? And some people have asked, what would have happened if the younger son had met the older brother first before he met the father? He would have never made it home. It is unbelievable, the juxtaposition of unimaginable selfishness and unstoppable grace, friends. That's who we worship today. And here we have a table set before us that symbolizes the same thing. Unimaginable selfishness on our part and unstoppable grace on God's part. Friends, Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. He was falsely accused. He was beaten and shamed and made to carry his own cross until he fell over in exhaustion. Because the religious leaders were too self-absorbed to receive his joy-filled message about a God who had unstoppable, prodigal love for a world of selfish people. Jesus shed his blood and allowed his body to be broken so we could be reconciled to God, restored as his beloved children. And friends, here we are. Here we are. We're about ready to take these elements, which for us is God's party, saying, you are mine, you are forgiven, you are free. Take, eat, do life on my terms, be reconciled to me, and come home again and again and again. You who are lost today, be found in Jesus' name. God is searching the horizon, waiting for you. God wants to welcome you and embrace you today. He wants to forgive the burden of your sin. He died for it. He gave his life for it. All we need to do is receive his grace and pray, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Friends, these elements are truly the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Let's be reconciled to him again today, or for the very first time. Let us pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your unstoppable grace. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around it. It is beyond us. It is holy. It is so generous and unending. Thank you, Lord. Lord, if anyone is here today who needs a special measure of your love and your presence, I pray that you would allow them to receive that as they receive these elements. Lord, if anyone is here who feels as if they cannot be forgiven, I pray that they would be assured of your promise to us in scriptures that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. So may we take these elements in faith, participate with joy, and celebrate your goodness to us. Set these elements apart, I pray, from a common to a sacred use, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Measurable grace here, broken body symbolized by this, folks. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples and he said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of me and my love for you. In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, friends, his blood shed for you, drink the cup, you show forth my death, you demonstrate my death until I come again. Friends, God gave his life for you. Take these elements in faith. These are his gifts to you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us receive them gratefully. Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Let us drink together.